This is Bill Blomquist, and we are in a podcast of prophetic song. In this podcast, I'd like to share with you a little bit about where do we get prophetic songs from. I mean, in one sense, we know they all come from heaven, and they're sort of copying the same songs that God is singing to us, and sort of putting our ear up to the heavenly ceiling and going, "What am I hearing? Okay, I got it," and then bringing that down and singing that over our people. But where the rubber meets the road is can be a different story. So I'm going to talk a little bit about spiritual spark plugs. Maybe four different areas that I'm aware of wherein the very spark of the word may be waiting for us to capture. You know, a spark, when you start a car, there's one little spark and then it ignites the entire engine and you can go forever. But where are our prophetic spark plugs, if you will? What ignites prophetic song within the context of the worship service? Firstly, if you're in a liturgical church, which many of us are these days, I would say the liturgy. There are so many treasures of and words and prayers and combination of words that are just crafted for beauty and to give glory to the Lord. And, you know, as you're going through the liturgy, maybe the Collect for Purity, the Holy Spirit can illumine pieces, a sentence, a phrase that He may want sung later on in that same service. Actually, you know, people knock the lectionary because it's so formulated and laid out, you know, so tightly wound. But big things happen according to the lectionary. So the scriptures of the day can be a marvelous place. I was in a church up in La Cañada, California recently, and the priest said to me before the service, I was leading worship, and he said, would you come up after the sermon and sing some prophetic songs over us and as we do ministry? And in my mind, I thought, yeah, I can do that. And I had a song I was going to sing and everything. I said, I can try it. It was sort of a spark plug to kind of get me going. And yet the psalm of the day was, "Be still and know that I'm God." And as soon as that came across, we were all saying that it was such a deep knowledge that that was what I needed to be singing or leading us in song over the congregation. And so that's what I did. I changed my mind. You know, I thought, well, the scripture of the day, God is breathing through that. I'm going to go with that. You know, I think another thing is helpful is when you hear a sermon. You know, I was at a songwriting conference a while back, and one of the song leaders there was saying, you know, whenever you hear a sermon, ask yourself, should we be singing this? I thought that was great. Should we be singing what our pastor is telling us? Many times during the prayers of the people, visions and dreams come, and I tend to get my most significant direction in the prayers of the people. I'm not even really praying through the prayers. I'm just sort of in God's presence there at the altar of incense. But yet it is there that God's heart is revealed, and I often come away with some sense of direction on what to sing and where to go in the prophetic. How about the music of the day? Second big spark plug. God gave you that song list. I mean, come on. Doesn't mean that He can't sing through it. It could be that you sing a chorus, and there's a phrase in that chorus, you know, change the atmosphere. And it just pounds your heart. And you go, wow, there's something on that phrase. And so you say, hey, let's sing this phrase again. Let's sing this chorus again. I call this looping. And, you know, where you go back up to the first verse again, and maybe you don't get to the second verse because the first verse is really what God is wanting to be sung that day. And so this is good. I think it makes for a really wonderful prophetic, spontaneous blessing for your congregation, but you need to make sure that your band and your media person is with you. So if you think you're going to go back up to the first verse again, I think it's very appropriate just to stay vamping on one chord, and you're really talking to your band, you're really talking to the media people within the instruction to your congregation when you say, that was really good, we need to sing that verse again, 1, 2, 3, bam, and make sure that everybody is with you, because if God is giving you stuff to sing again and again, you don't want to ruin it by not having your media person with you, or by not having your band behind you and making it a train wreck, or stage presence. If God's given you a song, you don't want to be on your knees where the microphone is up high and no one can hear you. You know, we want to get it out there. It's not, you know, hide it under a bushel. No. So you really want to be careful about that. So in the music list that God gave you, have some fun in looping. You know, in the Fellowship of Saints is another spark plug. Sometimes before the service, you tend to see themes, people coming up to you like, wow, God's really blessed me with financial gain this week. I can't believe it. Then you're getting your coffee, you know, and someone else comes up to you. Man, I just can't believe it. God gave me a raise at work. You're tuning your guitar and someone gives you a check for $50 to buy. You know, there's themes that if we have our antennas up, will often come to us even before the service begins. Another piece of that is the life of the congregation. You know, events in the life of the church can be sung over people to reinforce God's assurance or his shepherding or his encouragement and empowerment. You know, situations like crisis. You know, maybe there's a terrible crisis that's happened in the church. Do you think God would want to sing into that crisis? Well, of course he would. Want to sing comfort, you know. Maybe we just built a new building and this is our first service. It's a celebration. See, this is congregational life. Would he want to celebrate with a new song over this big deal? Maybe it's a 20th anniversary of the church. Sure he would. And other milestones as well. And finally, our last spark plug would be spiritual seasons. God tends to move congregations around. If we were to speak in terms of the filter of the Tabernacle of Moses, I would put it in this terminology. God tends to lead his flock around different ministry stations at different times of the year. This is different than the liturgical calendar, where you have Advent and Epiphany and Pentecost, which are also great spark plugs for prophetic song. You know, holy days, holy celebrations. But there's also an undercurrent, which is more has to do with the organic body of Christ worldwide. A discerning worship leader will be able to have a sense of what God is saying, sort of an undercurrent, words over a season of time. You know, I found many places after, like when the towers went down in New York, and other, you know, the tsunamis, things like that. You know, oftentimes the burden of God, he doesn't cherish the passing of his saints. And there's a sense of sort of intercession among the people. And I believe that these are also God-ordained spark plugs, which God is singing into and which we can capture and sing songs into on his behalf that would help nurture what the Spirit is doing in the congregation. So there we go. We have different spark plugs, places to sort of get the hint, you know, sort of like you're on a Saturday afternoon and you smell sort of a steak, you know, that's coming up over your fence into your backyard. You go, wow, where's that? So these are like that, where you sort of have a smell, an inclination, and following that and being obedient to the leading of that fragrance will bring you right to the source, right to the heart of the matter. So I hope that's helpful. And in our next podcast, we're going to be talking about types of prophetic song. So I hope you can join us. God bless you guys. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.